KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Welcome to Wheels Up and Conspiracy Theory Wednesday. You know, since this is the last broadcast day of the week for me, okay, I'm going to take the rest of the week off, and I hope you do too. You know, unless you're providing services for all the other little people, you need to go to work. You need to, just kidding around with you. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to take a couple of days off and back on Monday. And we'll have Hugh Hewitt, or probably whoever's filling in for Hugh Hewitt, or whoever's filling in for the fill-in for Hugh Hewitt will be filling in for me on Thursday and Friday. So there we go. I think we got that pretty much covered. But it is Wheels Up Wednesday, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. If you want to call it that, it's fine. It's perfectly okay. Some people have been writing me a little bit upset, though, about my my stance against geoengineering, or about the geoengineering calls, all right? And I wanted to explain myself a little bit on this one. In fact, I had an argument, not an argument, but a discussion yesterday. Lucretia called during a, you know Lucretia, we all love Lucretia. And Lucretia, and we have Jeremy and various other people who write me about climate change kind of things here in Southwest Oregon, involving geoengineering. And of course, I have just tired of it as a talk show host because, all right, every time there's a line in the sky, we're being sprayed. Every time. There's never a contrail, never a natural cloud anymore. Everything, you know, that's just kind of it. Right now, I guess you can just see by looking outside that the sprayers, the chemtrailers, have taken the day off. In fact, they look, apparently they've been taking the week off, I guess. So, and if this is all about trying to cool the planet, you would be thinking that they would be chemtrailing us like crazy right now if it was really about reducing the planet's temperature, like Bill Gates and types are talking about. You know where I'm getting at, you know, on this sort of situation. My thing on the chemtrails is that there are so many conspiracies and attacks and intrusions that are right there in your face, in the open. And of course, I know people will say, but the chemtrails are right there. That's fine. Okay. You can go this. It's kind of your religion. It's kind of a little bit of the fervor of the flat earthers. And there's a good contingent of flat earthers here, of people who I respect and actually enjoy talking to every now and then. But I'm sorry, I can't go with a flat earth thing. For some reason, Southwest Oregon is a hotbed of that kind of stuff. It's quite interesting when you get the emails that I get, you know, being a member of the media or a media member, you know, that kind of thing. But I will just say this right now. If every morning you wake up and you see evidence of spraying, et cetera, then rather than trying to get me to go into every line in the sky is we're being sprayed, take your evidence to local government, whether it's your county, whether it's your sheriff, things like that. Gather your evidence. Gather your evidence, gather your scientific reports and such, and then have your county commission or your county board of supervisors, if you're in Northern California, have them pass an ordinance like some cities, or I think it was over in Illinois somewhere, that somebody passed passed an ordinance against geoengineering, and go at it at that way. Go about it that way, all right? And that's why I have just tired of that. And just understand, I've admitted that there is geoengineering that goes on. There are budgets for it. People will say, well, there's 100 patents for this. Well, that doesn't mean it's happening 100 times, 100% of the time. But there are many things that are attacking us in this land of the free, supposedly. And I even question if we could stop saying that, you know, these days. But I prefer to deal with the people in situations that you can touch, prove, taste, and really prove. I mean, truly, truly prove. And follow documentation, et cetera, et cetera. And not someone's book, and not someone's theory. And that's all I was kind of getting at, all right? So please understand when I talk about, you can talk about most anything else, but I've kind of had it up to here with the chemtrail stuff. Not that it doesn't happen. But I can't prove you wrong. You can't prove you right. You just can't. And so it's kind of like talking abortion. You'll never convince someone who is not in agreement with you on it. It's just a no-win kind of thing. It's that same sort of thing. Although you would think that that people would think just logically that abortion is taking a life, but I guess, you know, it's not a life if it's inconvenient to someone. And why is abortion so pushed in the state of Oregon? Why is it still pushed even in spite of the Roe v. Wade thing going down? It's because it's popular. And that's why I would even tell people who are pro-life folks and they want to change the world and get a law put in place, et cetera, kind of like chemtrail things, you have to change hearts and minds. You have to change hearts and minds with consistent pressure. Okay? All right. So talk to your local governments about that. That's what the government is there to do, to respond to your pressure. Okay? All right. I feel better, don't you? Okay. 770-5633. So now Lucretia says she wants to call and talk to me about free energy. Hey, free energy, I'll go over that. That's fine. That's fine. At least I don't have to go out there and say, I don't see a line in the sky. All right. Some of our top stories this morning. Yes, 96 today, 105 tomorrow, 110 on Friday. It could be 105 to 110 on Friday, maybe even a little bit warmer on Saturday, and then it starts kind of cooling off. Yeah. Mr. Heat is who he's going to be called today rather than Mr. Outdoors. Mr. Heat and Mr. Hurricane. Greg Roberts will join us for an end of the week outdoor report. We'll do that at 7:10. And he's going to go through all sorts of interesting conversation. Speaking of which, Jeff Merkley, Heat. I'm talking about Heat here. Well, he's not hot. He's just sort of, well, he's actually the dimmest LED in the sustainable energy world here. But Merkley released a statement yesterday on the Biden administration's proposed rule to protect workers nationwide from wildfire smoke extreme heat. When extreme heat takes over, where wildfire smoke blankets our communities, it's dangerous for public health and hinders everyday life. Except for prescribed burning, because Merkley loves prescribed burning. It's okay if we get that in the community. The smoke from that's fine, right? As these threats increase in Oregon across the country, Merkley writes, these protections will aid workers during extreme weather events with the first ever federal safety standard on extreme heat in the workplace. Oh, my goodness. If there's a federal safety standard on extreme heat in the workplace, workers are doomed. They'll be dead. Something will happen. The federal government will not be able to be effectively enforce this somehow. People will be dying. Jeff, you should be ashamed of yourself pushing a federal rule. I'm just kidding, but Merkley continues, our workers put their health and safety on the line to keep America running. They deserve the strongest possible protections from extreme heat and wildfire smoke fueled by climate chaos. At my town halls in each of Oregon's 36 counties, I hear directly from Oregonians about what matters most to them, especially to confront the threats posed by wildfires, smoke, and excessive heat fueled by climate chaos. What a maroon is all I can say, because it comes right down to it. Both Merkley and Wyden are against any real action on the federal lands. You know that. I know that. Anybody to the right of Che Guevara, who was intellectually honest, knows that. The entire purpose of the Ron Wydens and the Jeff Merkleys and their fellow travelers in the environmental community has been about deindustrializing the West. It's just true. It's just the way it is. People are saying, why can't we get back in the woods? Why can't we do anything? It's because of people like Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden. Until you actually have support from West Coast senators, nothing changes in public land policy. And so we've decided that there's supposed to be no moo on the public land, so you're not supposed to chew up any of the grass and the underbrush with cattle. You're not supposed to do that. Boy, we don't want to have the wild horses running around. Captain Bill's always trying to get that. We don't want to do anything to control the predators. And so the predators are going out there and chewing up all the deer and the elk. And so you have fewer of nature's lawnmowers here. And you don't want a chainsaw ever going off in any federal forest. Or very rarely does it go off. Where they go off, they just want, well, we just want to have selective logging. You know, that's that sort of thing, which is not economically you know, feasible for these sort of things. So Senator Merkley, Senator Wyden, and the other senators up and down the West Coast, they're all Democrats. None of them want anything done real. The only kind of treatment that they want on federal lands is to burn it. And when they talk about the you know, Make America Beautiful Act, I think, recently, when they talk about restoring the lands, but 30% by 2030, they mean burning the land. That's what they mean. And the same morons that talk about burning the land and won't have any real activity, won't have any real mechanical removal or harvest or anything else on the public lands, are the same morons then that are saying, we need laws to protect you from wildfire and extreme heat. You know, it's like Jeff Merkley, Ron Wyden, they break your leg and then they hand you a little law as a crutch and say, here, you can hobble around with this. And the dim bulb Democrats continue in the majority in Oregon, continue to reelect them every time, every time. So it just astounds me that people even believe his crap that he puts out in this news. Well, we need these rules to protect the workers from the wildfire smoke. Yeah, that you and your people end up in their policies and your fellow travelers cause. You're the root cause of it. The root cause. Forests have life cycles. They'll live, they die. They live, they get struck by lightning, and then they die. And then they get mowed down, you know, that sort of thing. You're either going to manage it, or you're going to have heat and wildfire smoke. Ugh. All right, I'm going to calm down now. But, you know, this is the sort of stuff that'll just be, it'll be reported uncritically. You know, in the area news and the newspapers that are, you know, friendly to the Wydens and the Merkleys. They're part of the problem. But, of course, there's a lot of money and a lot of green grift with them having that problem. Climate chaos. Only chaos inside their brains. It's 22 after 6. This is the Bill Meyer Show. 3, 2, 1.
Discount Fireworks Superstore. Get the same amount of fireworks for half the price.
Twice the fireworks for the same price you'd pay at the other guys.
All your favorites, sparklers, screaming patriots, ground blooms, and killer bees, at least 50% off.
Over 250 items to choose from.
Discount Fireworks Superstore has 6 locations in the Valley. South Pacific Highway near Grange Co-op. West Main near Thunderbird. Ashland across from Butler Fort. Central Point across from Pilot. White City at Wilson Equipment. Grants Pass in the first tent on Rogue River Highway just east of Gun and Tackle. Plus Cape Junction on Redwood Highway and River Road. For a discount fireworks superstore near you and free fireworks, visit dfsfireworks.com. Once again, for discount fireworks superstore locations plus free fireworks, visit dfsfireworks.com. That's dfsfireworks.com. Remember, for free fireworks, visit dfsfireworks.com. Get the same amount of fireworks for half the price only at Discount Fireworks Superstore.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
624, Matt Stone, oddly enough, is here on the phone. It's a great synchronicity this morning, Matt. You wanted to talk about that heat rule that Senator Merkley is crowing about yesterday, huh? Federal rule?
Senator Merkley is about 3 years behind OSHA, so he's not going to be able to take a lot of credit for anything getting passed. We are already following OSHA criteria and I honestly don't know whether it's Oregon OSHA or federal OSHA, but there are already requirements in place for when it hits 90 degrees, when it hits 95, when it hits 100, and then as well as with the smoke index, there's different levels of things that we are able to enable and not able to do with our employees that work out in the field with roofers and heating and air conditioning technicians. We already have rules in place. We have to provide water. We have to provide a cool place for them to go. we have to provide, if it's smoky, you know, face masks. And then once it hits certain points, they can't work anyway. So we've already had those common sense rules in place with our business for a long time.
But yeah, the thing is, you don't want your, you don't want your workers out there sweltering in 110. We get that. I'm just kind of curious, yeah. Are the rules you have to work under right now, Matt, do they ever get to the point where it's just like nothing can do, nothing can happen, nobody can work, nothing gets done?
When it hits 100, the workers can work. They have to have a 15-minute break every hour.
Okay.
At that point, you might as well go home. You can't do anything in 45 minutes that's really worth anything at that point.
Okay, well, if you have a 15-minute break, could you get in the truck, as an example, with the air conditioner on and cool off or not?
Yes, that is one of the areas that they can, you know, they can either go into a truck or inside a building. You can even just set up a portable shade for them as long as they have cool water to drink. So we provide all of our employees bottled water. We provide ice. We have pop-up tents that they take out with them.
Now, they're not requiring you to put out a kiddie pool for the guys yet, are they?
Not at this point.
Okay.
Not at this point.
Okay, that'll be the next rule that Merkley will have, that there will have to be a portable kiddie pool filled with bagged ice in order to help the workers. He'll be able to take credit for that.
If Merkley wants to get credit for something, he'll get it for that one.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah, so like I say, most employers that have guys working out in the field already have stuff in place for them. So when these regulations came out, it wasn't anything new. The biggest one was just the amount of rest time or break time that they had to be given once they hit certain temperatures. But in all honesty, once we hit those temperatures, our guys are going home.
Yeah. It is a concern here. My concern, though, is when they talk about wildfire smoke, and they never want to look at the root of the wildfire smoke, as if somehow the wildfire smoke just kind of happens. Does that irritate you a little bit? Just a bit?
Irritates the heck out of me.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, having grown up out in Williams, where we had a mill across the street when I was growing up, if they would let the loggers do what loggers do, our fires would not be nearly what they are today.
And everyone's scared about all the dead red, you know, out in the Applegate right now, right? And rightly so.
Yes.
You know, beetles come in, life cycle, you get trees stressed with some drought, the beetles move in, they're dead. And so they will look at it, I guess, as morally superior just to have it touched off by a lightning strike, right? That's kind of the way they look at it.
It's more natural. That word natural is ridiculous, in my opinion.
Yeah, polio is natural too, and we did something about it. Okay,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, and you know what? And I'm not a mosquitoes, Nile virus, and all the others. That's all natural too. But I think letting man safely and proactively go out and manage the woods. I mean, who wants to look at a burn scar versus a clear cut, whereas the burn scar never does get logged, never gets cleared off. All it gets filled up with is a bunch of brush that's just going to burn again, just like we had out in the Biscuit Fire where that fire started up again. I think it was last year.
Yeah, and then you don't really want animals. And then you don't want animals or any cows grazing on anything too to keep the grasses down. Oh, we don't want that either. That's bad. Everything
that's
is bad. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Matt, I think what we have to do is elect you as the senator to replace Merkley, and then we're saved. Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah. That requires a political level that I don't think I'm fit for. So I don't know if I don't know if I can contain my mouth well enough.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Matt, thanks for checking in. By the way, over on the heating and air conditioning side, how many blown compressor capacitors or fan capacitors have you had to replace? I mean, doesn't it always happen this time of year when everybody starts cranking up?
It happens this time of year. Yep. Once equipment gets under a heavy load, like we're in right now, like we're going to have Friday, Saturday, it's all hands on deck, and everybody's doing everything that we can to try and keep people taken care of, because when it's hot like this, it doesn't matter how new your home is, it's still going to get hot inside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, stay cool over at Stone, all right? We appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, okay?
Everybody check their filters and clean your and rinse off your condenser coils a little bit. That'll help you a ton.
Yeah, I'm going to do that today. I know that I'm about at my quarterly filter change. I got two of them, so I'm going to do that today, all right? Thanks for the call.
There you go.
All right, take care,
Everybody,
Matt.
Everybody have a good day.
All right, Matt Stone. It's 6:31 at KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Now then, we are going to be talking with Eric Peters for the Wheels Up Wednesday portion of our program and digging into the auto journalism. He has driven the CTX4, the latest CTX4, and he just had an awesome, awesome review about that Cadillac. And, you know, Cadillacs, it's almost like one of the real last compact sports cars that are being made here. And he actually had a lot of good things to say with it. We'll talk with him about that and a whole bunch of other things.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American and Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. In 2021, the Oregon legislature passed House Bill 3111, limiting what cities could do about homeless camping. Now, after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled cities are free to outlaw homeless camps, two Democrats in the legislature want to roll back 3111. Representative Paul Evans and Senator Dan Meeker speaking out. Meek says our communities deserve streets that are safe and clean, not only for residents, but also for businesses that drive our economy. Two initiative petitions aimed to allow school choice in Oregon failed to gather the 160,000 signatures needed to make it to the November ballot. One petition would have set up a voucher-style system. The other would allow parents to enroll their child in the public school district of their choice. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is seeking the public's help finding 15-year-old Mesa Kennedy from Medford. She disappeared June 17th. She's described as 5'3", 125 pounds, with hazel eyes and brown hair. It's believed she may stay in the Medford area or travel to surrounding cities. Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Exhaustion, the result of a heavy travel schedule, is what President Biden is blaming for his poor performance in last week's debate with former President Trump. Democrat calls for Mr. Biden to quit the White House race are growing louder. Another example of growing friction between Communist China and Taiwan. China warns Taiwan's Coast Guard not to interfere with China's detention of a Taiwanese fishing vessel off the Chinese coast. Close to 90 million Americans are under extreme heat advisories. Forecasters blame a ridge of high pressure just off the West Coast and a separate ridge that has spawned heat warnings and advisories from Kansas and Missouri all the way to the Gulf Coast states. The FBI and police investigating the damaging of nearly 180 grave markers at two Jewish cemeteries in Cincinnati. The opening bell sounding on Wall Street. Stocks opening mixed. More details, srnnews.com.
What does it take for organizations to triumph? It takes the trust of people like you. And that's why an estimated 14 million givers look for the ECFA seal. Over 2,700 leading ministries across the U.S. display ECFA seal, demonstrating that they live up to biblical standards of financial accountability, responsible governance, and trust. So next time you donate, look for the ECFA seal, a widely recognized symbol of trust. Visit ecfa.org/trust to learn more.
If you're looking to move out of your parents' place, you could really cut expenses by bundling your car and renter's insurance with Progressive, which is good because your little brother has gotten really territorial. You're blood related. You'd think it would be fine to share food in the fridge. I mean, who writes their name on every individually wrapped slice of cheese, Tyler? Still, you've got to admire the commitment. So bundle your renter's and car insurance with Progressive and use the savings to help you move out and have all the cheese you want. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states.
Two Dogs Fabricating is a truck and trailer equipment company. Service bodies, flatbeds, dump trailers, racks, and more. They transform your truck and trailer into the ultimate work rig. Two Dogs Fabricating can custom design and build a bed and trailer that's specifically designed to carry your equipment. Plus, we have North Star flatbeds, Pacific Truck Service bodies, job box and buyer's toolboxes, lift gates, Delco dump trailers, everything you need to do the job better and easier. To get outfitted, go see Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road. Visit twodogsfab.com.
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
6:36, Wheels Up Wednesday. Eric Peters, automotive journalist and genius, is back on the show this morning. Happy 4th, Eric. I'm trying to figure out what we're going to be actually independent of tomorrow as we celebrate Independence Day, but I guess it's a nice look back at what used to be. What are you thinking this morning, huh?
Well, I think, you know, if we actually did declare our independence on an individual level, we might actually one day get to celebrate our independence again.
So maybe like a little bit of, a little bit of personal secession, as it were, withdrawing from the administrative state and doing everything possible to gum the works up, maybe?
That's it, exactly. In fact, I published an article about an hour ago that gets into that for anybody who's listening that might be interested in that topic.
Well, it kind of dovetails with another article you were talking about. In fact, I commented on your article. And by the way, one of the things, folks, you'll love about going to EP Autos, they have a great commentary and a great cast of characters in there weighing in after all the excellent articles that Eric writes. And you wrote something about, what was it, the cult of safetyism? What was the actual title of that article, do you recall?
Gosh, you know, I'm having a Biden moment. It was something like what safety isn't.
The case against safety. That's what it is. Yep. I just found it on EP Autos. And I was thinking about, here it is, we're celebrating independence. And I commented on that article about the cult of safety yesterday, against safety, because I'm watching the news here locally, both of our local TV news, and I swear that every other story, every other commercial, every other thing is, we want you to be safe. We want you to be safe driving. We want you to be safe drinking. We want you to be safe with your fireworks and safe from the heat and safe. It's just like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, what would the founders think today if they were to look at the United States of America and It wasn't like the founders were saying, all right, patriots, time to go to our safe zone, you know?
Well, it's safetyism, and safetyism is kind of a religion of risk aversion. And the problem with that is, at what point do you call it a day and done? You know, risk is part of life. We all ultimately die. And the process of living entails judicious risk. And I think you put it very well when you made your comment and said that it's not so much about safety as it is about being careful. And I think the distinction is really important.
Nobody can make it, or I should say, nobody or no institution can give you safety. They just can't give you safety. We can take care. We can take care in how we conduct ourselves. But nobody can make you safe. No system can make you safe. You know, that's not
the way.
It's
very much of a piece with, you know, you hear the term health insurance bandied about a lot. There's no such thing. You can take action to be healthy and to reduce the risk that you'll become ill. But there's no possible way that you can insure your health.
Yeah. Or even insuring your life, because really what it is that, okay, well, health insurance is really insurance to pay the doctor. You know,
yes,
that's really what it is. But I guess that doesn't sound as good as health insurance rather than pay the medical mafia. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to this whole risk aversion thing, they're catering fundamentally to neurotic people. You and I are old enough to remember when people who were neurotically obsessed with safety and were afraid of everything were a fringe group. You know, and they bought Volvos, and that was fine, by the way. Nothing wrong with Volvos, but, you know.
You make me laugh, and I'm thinking about it. I remember that's the way they marketed Volvos back in the day, right? You know, they were boring, big rectangular boxes, but they were pretty tough, right? That kind of
thing. Very safe. Now, you know, interestingly, my next review is going to be of the Volvo S60 sedan, which is being canceled. And the reason it's being canceled is nobody's buying it. And why is nobody buying it? Well, because everybody else is selling safety now, so Volvo really doesn't have any reason for being anymore.
Well, except Subaru sells love, don't they? Isn't that what they're selling right now?
They sell love in all colors, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hoist the pride flag, baby.
Yep.
All right. there is something pretty... Anyway, it's a great article, Case Against Safety, and also the independence, our independence. And I often wonder, you know, I look back at the last 20, 30 years of my life, and I've seen the decay of the government's relationship to the citizen, as it were. And I'm wondering, if you had had the Jeffersons and the Washingtons of that day living right now, at what point would they have started shooting? Do you ever think about that as a little exercise? Where would they have started?
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
I think about that all the time. And I also think about the psychological contrast between the men of that era and the people of today. You know, today we have mean, cringing, cowardly people. Those people, on the other hand, you know, Jefferson and Washington, all of those people, they were all about abundant life. They were about happiness. You know, the felicitous phrase that Jefferson used in the Declaration. They were about making the most of our existence and improving ourselves, making things better. You don't hear much talk of that anymore, which I think is quite telling.
Yeah, I know. You think it would have been COVID, though? They might have pulled out the muskets. I don't know.
Well, I think they simply would have folded their arms across their chest and say, no, we're not playing along with this idiocy, which is what it was. It was idiotic.
Uh-huh.
That's my big objection to the whole masking regime. You know, when it was obvious that it was ridiculous to put those things on people, you were degrading them on purpose.
Hmm.
So, you know, that was ultimately what it was all about. And I think that people who have any self-respect will not tolerate being degraded.
Yeah. Okay, I think I've just figured out. I think I know when Jefferson and Washington would have pulled out the muskets and gone after the government. Waco. I think Waco, to them, would have been a moment for something like that. What do you say?
Well, that would have been a moment, not necessarily for fighting, but simply for showing that this is not acceptable. You know, I wrote an article the other day, I don't know whether you caught it, about immigration on four wheels.
Right.
You know, and I juxtaposed that on the one hand, we are expected to abide an open border on one side, and people coming over here, whoever wants to come over here, and on a human level, I have no issue with that. I understand why they're coming here. They're trying to materially better themselves. But on the other hand, we're not allowed to have the cars that are on the other side of the border. They can't come here.
Yeah, yeah. The cars on the other side of the border are much less expensive. In fact, you talked about a Fiat in that article, if I recall.
Yeah.
It was like you can get a $10,000 Fiat that you can get there. Can you imagine a $10,000 Fiat would probably sell very well here in the United States?
Of course. And you can literally get, an identical Nissan Versa. It's the same thing. It's called something different, but they sell it in Mexico for about $13,000. That same thing over here is closer to $20,000.
And
on it goes. And I thought about this, and I thought, well, you know, maybe a lot of people, wouldn't it be great if thousands, tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people booked a trip or just marched across the border, bought themselves one of those cars, and just drove it back across the border? You know, they say the border, they can't control it. Well, let's exploit it, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
That's a great idea. I'll tell you what. We'll just say that the Mexican Nissan Versa for $7,000 less is just looking for a better life in America. It just wants to live in a better...
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Use their own tactics against them. Use their own hypocrisy against them. You know, we are, again, these people are coming here to better their lives, but Americans are expected to see their lives perpetually diminished by this federal apparatus that does absolutely nothing to control the border. So, hey, let's exploit it.
Yeah, but it's also time for an independence of sorts, and I would agree with you on
yep.
that. Hey, before we get into your review here in just a minute, in a few minutes, actually, I have some other things I wanted to talk about. I had, and I don't know if this is anything you've ever written about on EP Autos, but there was not a listener of mine, but I was visiting my mother yesterday in her apartment, and a person who is a cleaning lady that helps her out was dropping by. And I asked her, well, how'd you like your Hyundai? And she had a Hyundai, very nice Hyundai, nice newer cars, like a 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me a story of woe, and it had nothing to do with Hyundai, but it had to do with the way that used cars get bought and sold and sometimes chopped up and mincemeated around.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said is that, and she bought it from a major dealer in Southern Oregon, and the Carfax was clean, everything was good on it, and no problem, and they sold it to her at a full price.
Mm-hmm.
But then goes on social media and went on a website and put in the VIN number, and it comes up of having been in a serious rear-end collision.
Mm-hmm.
And had been smacked up and crunched up in the back and everything like that. And there was nothing in the insurance world because apparently it never went through official channels. So apparently this car dealer ended up repairing it, whether it's in-house or some other way, and then sold it to her as if there had not been damage, but there was no disclosure of it and nothing on the Carfax.
Yeah.
And she's feeling really burnt about it. And
well, she should. I mean, it's fraud, you know, fundamentally, I think. And I think she should at least confront the dealer with it, and hopefully they'll make it right by swapping out the car or giving her some kind of compensation. And failing that, I think she should potentially go consult with an attorney, because when she decides to sell that car or turn it around, assuming she's not going to be dishonest like the dealer that sold her the car, she'll have to disclose that, and the value of the car will be less as a result of that.
Yeah, and the reason this concerned me, though, is that you know, the car dealers that we have in Southern Oregon, they're pretty big companies, and she did go to a attorney, and the attorney ended up saying, oh, listen, man, I have to tell you, you know, taking on these big boys is going to be it's going to be really tough. So she's been trying to get them to make it good, but she right now she's just the crazy customer that they don't like in the showroom as she comes in to complain, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, in a way, that's how she might get some satisfaction. And if you still have her contact information, pass it on to me. I'd be happy to do what I can to help.
Okay, I will do so. I'm just wondering how, you know, if it is legal, if there's a federal law that says you're supposed to you know, disclose, because they had to have taken care of it somehow, because it wasn't a serious accident. Apparently, it had never gone through any insurance process. It was sold at an auction, I guess is
that's
what it
just
was.
So, you know, they may have bought it from the auction, and they may not have known. That may be the other side of the story. I go to vehicle auctions all the time, and this sort of thing does happen, and it happens for just the obvious reason. You know, they don't want to disclose any kind of major damage like that, because then the vehicle is not worth as much, let alone if they give it what they call in Virginia, I think it's an R title, which means that it was considered totaled by the insurance company, but then remanufactured. At that point, it's effectively uninsurable. Most insurance companies will not issue coverage on a vehicle that has been evaluated as totaled at a prior point in time.
I didn't know that. Hey, thanks for that. Well, I'll get her information. I'll talk to my mom and just pass it along, because it was a really interesting story, and something tells me if it happened to her, that it's probably happening to other people, too. That's
oh, yeah. No question. It's a common practice.
All right. 647 with Eric Peters, automotive journalist here at epautos.com. Eric will be right back. Let's talk some reviews, take some calls, too, if people have a question or comment on something in their automotive or transportation world. 770-5633 on KMED 99.3 KBXG. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your tonneau cover source. Tonneau covers are a great way to secure and protect the cargo in your bed from the elements. Styles from Truck Gear, Mack Industries, Undercover, and more. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
The following preview has been rated immature for all audiences except metal roof enthusiasts and small children. In the not-too-distant sun-baked future, in a world where leafy debris and pine needles collect on unsuspecting homeowners' roofs, where just one seemingly harmless airborne ember could cause a catastrophic fire, two unassuming technicians...
He's talking about us!
...embark on an epic journey to fabricate and install fire-resistant metal roofs on Southern Oregon buildings. Heroes will rise. Fire hazards will fall.
This is awesome!
This summer, call the Metal Roofing Division at Fontana Roofing and witness the sheer...
So what do you think?
So it's like we're superhero firefighters, except without the supernatural powers, form-fitting costumes, and inherent danger?
Exactly.
Can we drive big, shiny red trucks?
Maybe in the sequel.
For an epic, fire-resistant roof, call Fontana Roofing's Metal Roof Division. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED.
A lot of people hitting the open road this weekend. Of course, it's going to be relatively warm here. Let's see, 96 today, 105 tomorrow, 110 Friday. Hey, Eric, how hot is it in Virginia? I know you had the heat bubble a few days ago. Is it still there or not?
Oh, my God, it's July.
Yeah.
It's been normally summery. It's been in the mid-80s for the last several days.
But mid-80s and very humid in Virginia. I know that, right?
Yeah, well, not so much where I am, because I'm up at about 3,000 feet elevation, which is a godsend. You know, if you go down the valley into Roanoke, which is the nearby city, then it's considerably more muggy.
Yeah, but boy, that's beautiful country, though. And it's because you get so much rain normally, which keeps it so green out there. The rolling hills of Virginia are something to behold. But yeah, we're even here, though, 110 to 115, that's real heat, even for us, even though it's a drier Mediterranean climate.
Oh, yeah. My folks used to live in Scottsdale, Arizona, so I'm very familiar with that kind of heat.
Okay. Hey, let's get back to the hot phones here. And Bob is on here. Hello, Bob from Medford. You are the EP Autos and Eric and me. And you wanted to actually remind me of a conversation I had about tidal washing. This is going back to the story of a local woman who bought a used car from a big dealer and then ended up finding out that it had been crunched in. And there was no disclosure about that. What's your story?
Well, Bill, yeah, I recall on one of your previous shows you talked with a local car guru who said they can take a car from one state, take it to another state, fix it, wash the title, and then there will not be that R code or reconstructed title on that, and that they can go ahead and sell that car. So there's a wishy-washy way of washing the titles and cleaning them up.
Boy, don't you just wish people would just be honest about something? Just tell us what happened, all right?
Yeah. And by the way, Bill, I hope the caller or the person that you were discussing this with is listening. Again, it's really, really important whenever you're considering the purchase of a used vehicle to have it put up on a rack and examined closely by an independent or third-party mechanic that you trust, because you can typically find out whether the thing has been in an accident, a major accident. There'll be telltale signs unless they do a really, really thorough job.
So they'll be looking at little wrinkles in the frame material, things like that, the paint.
Well, and evidence of repair. You know, you can tell new stuff, that contrasts against the old stuff that was there when the car was built.
All right. Very good. Well, I'll put her in touch with you. And, Bob, you actually had another comment that you wanted to get in here, though, right?
Yeah, Eric, you had a brief article lamenting the two-strokes.
Yep.
And in 2019, Evinrude Outboard made their E-Tech 150, which was a three-cylinder, 2.9 direct-injected motor that put out 140 to 150 horsepower without a turbo and without the need for a catalytic converter.
Yep.
So the technology is there for lightweight, efficient, good running motors, so,
and very simple ones too, which means they would be that much more affordable and that much less expensive to maintain. But we can't have those, can we? Just like we can't have the $13,000 Hilux Champ that people in other countries get to have.
Now, did they have that? You said it's an Evinrude, so that was a boat motor. I'm wondering if there's a different pollution standard for a boat motor as contrasted with a motor vehicle.
There is, absolutely. You know, it's outdoor power equipment, basically versus on-road vehicles.
All right. So there you go, Bob. But, you could always buy the Evinrude and then put it in your car, okay?
Yeehaw. They did that with the Slant 6. 225.
All right. Thanks, my friend. Good hearing from you, all right?
Thank you.
Good hearing from Bob Shan. All right. There's an article you just put up there this morning here, and it shows an Amazon warehouse or a parking lot. What's all the smoke? What's all the smoke there?
Well, what do you think? It turns out Amazon has a 17% stake in Rivian, I think it is. And so it has acquired a bunch of Rivian electric delivery vehicles. And they've had a bad habit of spontaneously combusting.
Oops.
And this is the latest. I think this happened on the 24th of last month in Houston, Texas. And it was because they were hooked up to the charger again, and that's the main failure point for these things, because of the very, very high voltage and the heat that's generated during that process. And so one of them lit up, and of course it was parked next to two others, and before you know it, all three are lit up.
Oh, boy, just like those YouTube videos we were seeing even a few years ago with EVs spontaneously combusting in parking lots, things like that. Boy, can they really get a hold of that or get a handle on that that kind of issue? Because the challenge, as I understand it, I'm not a battery expert on this, but the challenge is that they're trying to get more cells to fit in a given space because they build the electric batteries into the frame. And so you have to make the dividers between the batteries thinner and thinner in order to do this. This is how you get more battery life in your laptop or your cell phone, too. But you don't drive your laptop. You know, it's a big difference, right?
And you know, you can do things to reduce the risk, but you're not going to eliminate it. And the problem, I think, well, it's a compounding problem. It's a greater risk to begin with than a gas fire because of the fact that it doesn't require a spark or an ignition source in order for it to start. And then once it starts, it's extremely difficult to put it out. So you've got those two problems. And really the only way that I'm aware of that you can greatly reduce the risk is by not fast charging the battery. And then that brings in the problems of having to wait for at least several hours to get a partial charge out of the thing, which makes the vehicle essentially useless.
Yeah. Well, you did say your package might be a little bit late. That's the title of that article.
Right.
But your Amazon piece was burned up in the Rivian. Very good. All right. Hey, before we take off, though, we got to just mention the great stuff that's going on here.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, if you want to squeeze a call into Eric, 770-5633, we'll definitely try to squeeze you in here. The Cadillac CT4. And I was surprised at this review. I hadn't really thought too much about the Cadillac cars, but this one looks like a real winner and a real driver's car, a real competition to the Mercedes and the BMWs and vehicles like that, right?
It is. It's just a shame that more people don't really know about it. Now, car people do. And what we're talking about here is Cadillac's small sports sedan, which is rear-wheel drive with all-wheel drive available, and even better, you can get it with a manual transmission in the Blackwing, which is the top trim model that comes with a 474 horsepower twin turbo version of their excellent 3.6 liter V6, and you can get it for many thousands of dollars less than a comparable BMW or Mercedes. So it's a real pick of the litter, and it's a hoot to drive the thing. And anybody who's looking for a vehicle of that type, I recommend going to take a look at one.
And you also mentioned that the simplicity of it is admirable because it's a little cheaper. It doesn't have the mini hybrid version that many of the other cars do, so no hybrid part of it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. The standard setup in it has a 2-liter four-cylinder engine without the mild hybrid and the 48-volt electrical system that does come standard in the Mercedes. And if you look at the price difference at the entry level, it's enormous. It's like $10,000 price difference between the Cadillac and a comparable a BMW 3 Series or a Mercedes C300. So you can save yourself a ton of money and have a thoroughly enjoyable car. And there's a mid-tier engine, too. They have a turbocharged 2.7-liter 4 that makes nearly V8 power. I think, 370-something horsepower out of that engine.
Wow.
Not with a manual transmission, unfortunately, but otherwise it's still a really impressive car to drive. And you can get it for about the same as the BMW and Mercedes cost with their base little 2-liter four-cylinder engine and about 100 less horsepower.
You were also saying the CT4, relatively speaking, for a real sports car, is very affordable. Even at the base, it's really quick. What does that cost roughly?
It's only about $36,000 to start. You know, and if you look at something, well, you can't get a Camry V6 anymore. But last year, when you if you priced out a Camry V6. It would cost you around $33,000-$34,000, and so you know here you get the much to be preferred if you're an enthusiast driver rear wheel drive setup, and you get all the luxury stuff that goes with it.
So this really is a little bit of a gem in GM's closet here, isn't it?
It is, but it's sort of a legacy product, and it's I think it flies in the face of GM's politically correct agenda. You know, this pushing of all these electric cars, so they don't do a whole lot to market it. And according to what I've heard, the rumor mill has it that it is going to be canceled probably after the end of the next model year. So if you're interested in one of the last great GM vehicles, this is one to take a look at.
The 2024 Cadillac CT4. So you talked about it being fun, just sticks to the road. You don't even have to slow in. You don't have to slow down to the curves, do you?
A phenomenal handling car, which, again, I know you and I remember Cadillacs when, you know, if you went fast in a curve, you spit hubcaps.
Off
into the curve.
All right, yeah, off into the cornfield, in Ohio. Okay, you had to be careful about that.
And you did your best to not slide over into the passenger seat.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Shay, before 7, we'll grab one more call before we take off there. Hi, you're on with Eric Peters. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Washington, Larry.
Hey, Larry, what's going on? What do you want, or what do you have to say for Eric?
Hey.
I'm sorry, not one.
Well, Eric, I appreciate your knowledge, and I tell you, you benefit my life. Hey, I just read about Toyota wanting to come out with this hydrogen motor. Mm-hmm. Anything that you know about that and the concept and what they're supposed to do?
Well, they've already come out with it, actually. They have a model that's on the market called the Mirai that's very much like a Camry, except it's got the hydrogen setup in it. The problem is it's expensive. It's, I think, about $50,000 to start. And, you know, therein lies the rub with all of this stuff. You know, there's really no getting around the fact that these are much more expensive alternatives to a simple gas engine or even just a simple gas hybrid setup.
Does that answer the question, Larry? Or, sorry.
Well, is it going to be a benefit over the gas motors, or is the why are they saying this is a new concept or whatever?
Well, the only reason they come up with it is because they're trying to figure out ways to continue to produce vehicles that don't have all of the gimps the pure electric vehicles have, which they've come to understand are not acceptable to most people. And, you know, even affluent people. I came across an interesting stat the other day. Bill, you probably know about this already, but something like 43% of people who bought an EV, their first EV, are turning it in and not wanting to get another EV. And, you know, the reason for that strikes me as fairly self-evident. Even affluent people don't like to wait. You know, the reason affluent people who can afford it buy first-class tickets when they fly is not so much for the bigger seat. It's so that they don't have to wait in the cattle line, so that they can just board the plane and get off the plane and get on with their lives. Nobody wants to sit at a Sheetz gas station for half an hour.
It's very true. All right. Hey, Larry, good hearing from you. You know, Eric, and that brings up the point. There was a real opportunity lost with the electric vehicle here, I think, because they always were trying to market it as a replacement for the displacement of the internal combustion, rather than just being a really good local commuter car style of thing. You've always been talking about that. Yep. And I'm thinking even, like I said, the Nissan Leaf, the Chevy Spark EV, things like that. If they could have made those things in a very more affordable package where it wasn't $25,000 to $30,000 or $35,000, then you really have something. Oh, okay, I've got 100 miles of range and I can go to the highway for a little bit. But you know, if you're in a city or an urban area and you're not planning on taking huge long trips. Perfect, you know?
Sure, mopeds work. Make a lot of sense. Mopeds and scooters make a lot of sense for a lot of people. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not making fun of it.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely. If the market had been allowed to operate and the manufacturers had said, you know, we could create sort of a city vehicle using an electric platform, as you say, that maybe it would go 100 miles. It wouldn't have to get on the highway. Nobody would care. People would look at it and buy it because, hey, this is a great way for me to get to my job that's 15 miles down the road and get home again. And I don't need to go out on the highway and be able to drive at 75 miles an hour for a couple of hours. I just need a basic appliance to get from A to B.
But no, it had to be the force feed into the it's going to replace and you're not going to be allowed to buy the IC vehicle, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be the replacement for everything. It's not working. And that's where they went wrong.
I think it was Thomas Sowell who said something like, good ideas don't need guns, right?
That's a great quote, too. Really is. Yeah, you don't need a government gun to enforce something that people want to do anyway. Let me go to another line before we take off. And Eric's got to go, but we'll squeeze in a call with you. Who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine. You got a question or comment for Eric? Go ahead.
I do. Yeah. Hello, Eric.
Hey.
As far as the electric vehicles go, you know, I'm not a fan at all, of course. And I might actually give them just a tad more respect when their charging stations are run on wind or solar.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they don't,
yeah, that's a very apt point. Very, very apt point. I agree. If we're going to go on this green tear, let's really do it. Let's go all the way. And no fast chargers that suck power from the grid, that suck power from the burning of hydrocarbon fuels at generating plants. It must be a legal requirement that they all draw power from wind farms and solar arrays, and that's it. How about that?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a great meme that it's a picture of a train, like open box car after box, or just a whole line of them, all filled with coal, and the comment is, electric car fuel.
and it's true. If you dig into the numbers, I think it's something on the order of 75 to 80% of all of the power that's used to power up EVs comes from grid power, from burning hydrocarbon fuels, whether it's coal, oil, or natural gas.
Now, to be fair, out on the West Coast, it is a little higher. We have a lot of hydro, and we do have solar and wind, too. But they're trying to hide the coal power that is on our grid. They used to have that out in the open from the energy, from the EIA.gov website. Mm-hmm. And they used to show that in the wintertime around here in Southern Oregon, Eric, that when peak time would come, that you would have 60 to 70% of the power on our electrical grid coming from coal fire over in, what, Wyoming, yep, places like that. But then they make it sound, oh, we're just so green. We're so green everywhere. You know, what's so green about a coal-fired Tesla, you know, in Ashland?
Well, yeah, I think that people are finally getting wise to it, and they're really beginning to get irritated with the not just the disingenuousness of it, but the blatant dishonesty of it, the way that they've been lied to about this and so many other things.
All right. Francine, appreciate your call. Eric, always appreciate your talk and your journalism, too. We'll catch you next Wednesday and celebrate. And, well, let's all secede a little bit from the administrative state this weekend.
And let's all do the Biden tomorrow. You know what the Biden is?
I'm afraid to ask, but go ahead. Let's hear it.
It's the new dance. It's when you sort of squat as if you're about to do something very slowly.
I know that look. That look. Yeah, and you also have to have the glassy-eyed stare, right? That sort of thing.
If we could just get the whole country to do it all at once, wouldn't that be grand?
There we go. Hey, thanks, Eric. EPautos.com.
Thanks,
great
Bill.
Talk, all right. 705, this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Town Hall News next.
Rhonda talks about her experience.